He had a nice pink ass, no hair on his balls. Captain America, Civil War. Tagline, bunch of dickheads on the tarmac.
Okay, welcome back. Meet for the Beast, episode
22.
I'm here with James McVeigh.
Hello.
And me, Jim Connolly.
Hello, Jim.
So, period of transition for the Beast, for us both.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, we've just been down for a drink at the pub and we're saying we might pull back the curtain a bit.
This is Jim's idea. This is not my idea. I don't want to shine a light on myself and the misery of my day-to-day existence, my uncertain future. Me clinging on to the lyric in New Order's True Faith, I don't care if I'm here tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
But Jim wants to bring it out, so let's...
Once again, quagmire and soul pity around at my face.
Come on, Jim.
Yeah, well, I've kind of... part of the reason we've not potted for a while is I've been a kind of period of transition. The reason I kind of wanted to do a podcast was probably mainly because I was doing the freelance illustrator gig and working at home and, bit of a lonely kind of existence, and also quite, a bit hard to kind of relax and enjoy life while you're trying to scrape together a living as an illustrator. So I've just made a big decision a couple of months ago to kind of start doing the illustration part-time. I got a job in a bar, and so yeah, I'm doing that now and doing the art on a kind of smaller, more fun scale.
But I think that's it, isn't it? The fun scale. You're not beholden to it. And I think, like, this is what I think I've said this to you before. I've seen folk who have been doing jobs that they don't really care for. They get to do their passion, and you get to do that for a living. And when you become dependent on what your passion is, you kind of lose the passion for it because you're dependent on it. Is that fair, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you don't mind me bringing it up, like, your former missus was in the same boat, and she was doing the same gig in terms of fashion. And
exactly.
What would you describe as, like, more kind of... She was a seamstress, right? My friend as well, like, I met you through... Can we say a name? Like, we were banned from using a name, weren't we?
We weren't banned from using a name. Joe.
She banned us because you made some sexual daft story ages ago.
I don't know,
we were talking about Big. Yeah, we made a gag about, like the scene in Big where the mum shows up and there's like a man wearing clothes of a boy, and we turned it into some weird scenario. And
you did that.
Moving on.
Similar thing. Yes, she's a costume maker.
It's a tough, working in the art and design industry is a tough gig.
I think it's a thing across. It seems to be across, like, purely creative pursuits.
Hmm.
People expect that you're doing that for fun. That's for your fun. So why should I pay a premium for that? Because you're getting as much benefit out of it as I am. It's like, not the case, dickhead. I've spent 4 hours doing this and you expect to pay a tenner.
Yeah,
get the fuck out.
Or 4 days and you expect to pay 30 quid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one because...
I'm having a similar thing at my place, actually. We've got work issues.
Yeah.
And... one of the union women said, well, if you're gonna take your redundancy, at least go out on a high and think about, all the good things you did, all the good things you did for students and whatnot. It's like, well, I can't pay my fucking rent with goodwill. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And just like the same with the band. Oh, you paying for exposure. It doesn't put food in the belly, man.
Yeah, it's probably similar, like, I don't wanna sound like some twat, but like in the early days of the art gig, I did stuff for kind of, I did a few jobs for a signed band called The Barbs, and I kind of caught a glimpse of probably my life over the last couple of years via music, and where they were doing the band and they were kind of signed and getting in the magazines and stuff, but weren't really making a huge amount of money off it and trying to kind of cover the overhead of London, which, you know, I didn't really have that overhead. But it's a tough old game. And I don't know, I think like creative people aren't generally, if you want to like do something creative, you're not generally geared towards like doing, you're not a natural salesperson.
No.
If you know what I mean.
Fully.
But you kind of have to become a bit of a salesperson and respect the fact that your work's worth a certain amount of money and your time's worth something. And that's always a struggle for every fucking creative, I reckon. And one of the tipping points for me was I did a job for like quite a big ass, one of the real luxury end companies, and I fucking really went out of my way for it, and I still found I was being haggled down in like midway through the job, and I was kind of like, if these fuckers are haggling me down, yeah, you know, what chance have I got? I just decided I was better off kind of doing, kind of getting a gig to kind of pay most of my bills and then trying to do it as a more fun thing that it began as, really.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I see friends who have awesome looking lives and they have awesome houses and I have kitchen envy. Like, I'll go in their house and I'll fucking pop a boner because of their kitchen. Yeah. It's that delicious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are my friends that I went to school with, and I'm like, this is lovely. You have this. I don't do what you do for a living, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And
I think I'm going to probably give up the pipe dream when I turn 40. So I've got 4 years
to do
something with this, whatever it is. This is the most downbeat start to a podcast that we've ever done. We are here to talk about Batman and the films of Michael Bay and Stranger Things. We assure you, we are going to talk about some nice things.
I think after a 3-month gap, this is what people want. You know, they want the raw beasts.
The broken beasts.
The broken beasts, yeah. And, but I mean,
we're sat here on a Tuesday night drinking out of cans in my flat.
But yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because like this point in life, like for me, as an illustrator, you're kind of supposed to aspire to get your stuff in The Guardian and the Radio Times and all that shit. And I couldn't give a fuck, mate. I really couldn't. Like, I just kind of want to draw any old shit and enjoy it again and just know that I've covered my bills and I'm not going to struggle to buy a tin of beans and that kind of thing. And I think that's all right for me. And like from your point of view, if you don't mind me saying, like, you know, work situation's a bit up and down, but like you can still do creative shit, and that's what it's about, really, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And that's why we're doing this, really.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
This is some sort of outlet. Sorry for, I know this is free, but you're not getting paid to listen to this. But thank you for being there. I blame Brexit.
Yeah. Well, on a positive note, on a creative positive note, you guys just played Tramlines, the Sheffield Music Festival.
We did. We played Tramlines.
James's band, The Clench.
The Clench, yes. New album coming soon. Yeah. That was quite nice. We took advantage of modern technology and via Facebook live streamed our first song.
Sure, right.
As it happened.
No way, right. Yeah, right, that's cool.
That was pretty cool. It was quite nice seeing little thumbs come up as the video goes along, little love hearts come up.
Oh, lovely. Excellent.
It was quite nice. But yeah.
Oh, cheers for getting me involved, by the way.
I'm pretty sure you had some fucking nappies to take off or whatever. You knew Tramlines was happening. You couldn't have known.
It passed me by a bit, to be honest. I was kind of...
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm fucking working mostly, unfortunately. Now I'm
there. Hey, you want to be able to make it?
The Ted Danson of Wilmslow.
You're on the Woody, surely.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I'm like 20 years older than the people that I'm working with.
Ted Danson,
it's pretty humiliating. But they think my phone, like every time I pull my phone out, it's like I've just whipped out fucking bronze gramophone or something.
Jim's got this fucked up phone. It's like it's got buttons and it's probably using dial up somehow. I don't know. It's a terrible phone. It's got massive, massive type on it as well. He showed me a text message earlier. I was like, Jesus. 3 letters to a screen. Scroll down for the rest of it.
Yeah. It's kind of probably the next generation after Snake kind of disappeared.
Hipster bastard.
But yeah, it's got me a bit of respect from, you know, people think it's like a deliberate attempt to be cool, I think. So I kind of got a bit of cred for it. But yeah, we got a listener from my new job, a lad called Ben.
Shout out to Ben.
He's a sound guy, so yeah, shout out to Ben.
Nice one, Ben. Welcome.
Ben Malloy, good Irish name.
Is it?
Which, speaking of Irish, McVeigh would have been now a week or two ago for celebrate Orange Man Day.
Orange Man.
No doubt. Had his tin whistle on the go.
I don't know who the fuck these people are, but yeah. Long may they do their doings, whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't give a shit.
Diddly diddly diddly.
Diddly diddly. Okay. Yeah. Should we talk about something good?
Yes.
Shit lives.
So, so I've kind of, because, you know, because we peeled back the curtain, I decided, I need to keep a post-it of cool stuff to talk about, but I decided not to do it this time and just kind of shoot from the hip.
Well, let's try and get current. We just had Comic-Con, unveiling of a load of stuff with a lot of trailers for shit.
Yeah.
People have been gushing over stuff. Obviously, we've got the big ones like Wonder Woman and Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. I saw the trailers for Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, starring Charlie Hunnam.
Ugh,
it looks pimp. It looks like some thoroughly Charlie entertaining Hunnam. Business.
Is he strutting around again?
Yeah, he's strutting.
Fuck that guy.
Alright.
I couldn't even bring myself to watch it. Fine. The trailer. Sorry, was it good?
Fucking hell, no. Right, fine, let's. Fucking hell, Jim.
He struts like a fucking knobhead.
You like. Oh, Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, like, you know, everything he's in, he's like.
He's
not even that big. He's only like 5'9" or something. He's like a little fella like you, isn't he?
I'm 5'10". And if I looked like him, then I would walk like that man.
Yeah, he's like.
Don't be hating.
Yeah.
You're seeing him rolling and you're hating. That's what's going on here, Jim.
Well, I watched Sons of Twittery and wasn't very impressed.
Fucking hell, right.
This is where we need interaction.
Interaction would help. I mean, we tried interaction once and we got a bit of, not many takers.
Tell you what, I did have a good interaction, which McVeigh had issues with, was Tim Peake hate. I had a big lots of people loved that and McVeigh shut me down. It was all like, oh, I think we're bullying Tim Peake now. As if somehow we've hit his radar. As if we're keeping the Peake awake at night. Yeah, well, so there you go. So no more Tim Peake hate.
I don't even know if he could work his fucking radar. Okay, let's go back to where we were.
Go for it. You were tramlines, weren't you? You were talking tramlines.
No, we're talking Comic-Con trailers getting thrown out.
Oh yeah, I thought Wonder Woman looked pretty cool.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
Looking forward to taking my kids to see it next year. Introduce her to a female badass, although my wife thinks it'll be inappropriate for her.
Really?
I don't give a shit.
She's your daughter.
If I can get a 3-year-old in the cinema,
do
you think it'd be a 12A?
I don't know. I think Wonder Woman, I think it might go PG.
I mean, it can't be. It's probably going to be a similar film to Thor, right?
I would have thought.
It's got that vibe.
First Captain America, it's got that period element.
And Lego Batman looked pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, Lego Batman, obviously, good fun.
I just treated her to the latest TV film, Batman Lego Jobby, which was quite entertaining.
Was it?
It's not the same. It's not got Will Arnett in it, but it's. They seem to do different versions of Lego Batman, don't they? It's like the kind of pedestrian version. Cheapskate Lego Batman, but
straight to telly.
Yeah, but it's quite good, and it's New 52 everybody, which was interesting.
All right,
even though that's been wiped out now by Rebirth, apparently.
Fucking hell! So out of touch. And you're saying words now.
Well, they've realised New 52 was a bit of a disaster and just gone. It sounds like they've taken a step back to. They've gone back to the old naming system, I think. Like, Detective's no longer issue 4 or whatever, it's gone back to like issue 669, whatever.
Okay.
That's a bit strange.
Good.
Yeah. Sackdown did, yeah. One thing they did do is weed out that fucking Scott Snyder belling.
Snyder, he's now
teamed up with John Romita Jr. That's like I don't know. It's like putting Michael Fassbender with fucking Matt Cockney off EastEnders.
Danny Dyer.
Yeah, it's like the Fassbender Dyer team up.
I would watch anything those guys did. If there was a film with Danny Dyer and Michael Fassbender in, you know it's going to be brilliant. You know that. It's going to be entertaining, right?
Somewhere in Brooklyn, there's somebody screaming for a cappuccino by Scott Snyder. You know, a big waste to the coffee-making New York industry.
I don't know if anyone's aware of this. Jim seems to think that Scott Snyder looks like a barista. Like a generic barista.
He used to be one.
Oh, did he?
Because I listened to some interview he did, and apparently he was going to have a book out. Surprise, surprise, the publishers decided it was a pile of shit. Made him spend 3 years rewriting it.
Oh, my. This is...
And meanwhile, he did a Batman comic that did all right. So DC are like, here's the Batman money.
Was that Dark Mirror?
I don't know.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, some shit.
Fuck off, man. Black Mirror was
some bullshit.
Right, I'll give you that.
Oh, guess what? Greg Capullo's fucked him off. Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, good.
Talented guy fucked off a shithead.
Shut up. Story wise, nothing wrong with Black Mirror. It was a good fucking standalone based.
Yeah, it certainly looked good. Yeah, Greg Capullo art looked alright. Not sure about the story itself and, you know, dialogue, etc.
Oh my god.
What can I say?
Well, you can apologise for one thing.
One thing I think we can agree on is Scott Snyder looks like a cunt. you did agree that.
No.
He's got like a kind of like Tarantino's dickhead brother or something.
Fucking hell. Am I hearing that you want to stick Scott Snyder on the shit list?
Yeah, fucking hell, yeah, bring it on.
Alright, if he's going on...
Well, you can't... If you like his work, you can't put him on, really.
Okay. I like some of his work.
Okay, so you shouldn't really put him on, then.
I'm not saying I'm going to put him on, but I'm saying that we could have a kind of... Not a subset, but a kind of... Something that neither like we don't both have to agree on it.
Yeah.
Which means I get to put on something that you might like on the shit list without your complainance.
Go on. What would you want to put on?
I don't know. I just want some credit so I can think about this. Okay, like if I wanted to put Adam West on, for instance, I'm not going to do that. Wow. But we're in that kind of ballpark. I'd
see this podcast end before we did that.
I'll get thinking, John. Don't worry about it. But I'm that good of a podcast co-host that I will allow you to put Scott Snyder on your shit list.
Well,
because you are that passionate. Like you don't rant about mediocre writers.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you seem to have latched onto Scott Snyder in a big way.
All right. Well, let me skip it. What do you think of the idea of Batman as a god?
As a moronic concept.
What do you think about the Joker as an everlasting demon? And that when he dies, that's why, because he's an everlasting demon. And Commissioner Gordon's a new Batman in a big silly suit. Scott Snyder's done. Presumably that's why he's been sacked.
I'm going to label that as Elseworlds.
It's not though. It's continuity of the New 52, which is possibly why it's been shit canned.
So we're saying Scott Snyder's ruined the New 52. Because up to this, I'm hearing...
Well, Batman's the biggest selling title, isn't it? So it would imply that.
Interesting. All right.
So do you think they were good ideas?
I'll be honest. I don't feel well educated to comment. But in terms of what you just laid out to me, I don't care for it.
I'll give him this.
I don't mind Commissioner Gordon having to step up.
Yeah,
though
yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
In a kind of, what's the word? A ghost in the shell... You know, the robot ghost in the show with the rabbit ears, he's basically that's what Batman is in Commissioner Gordon. Well,
that's interesting.
It's Gordon wearing the Ghost in the Shell suit.
Okay.
Which is a
little that sounds like a good thing in and of itself.
It could be a good Elseworld, but it's like it's mainstream continuity.
That sounds like shit.
I can live with Batman being a god, and I can live with Gordon being Batman, but Joker being an everlasting demon is just.
I can't live with Batman being a god. It sounds moronic. It sounds absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it's terrible.
I think this guy belongs on the list.
Let's hold this, right? I'm gonna reread Black Mirror,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a bunch of other Scott Snyder shit down there that I've not read.
Well, Black Mirror's the tip of the iceberg.
But Black Mirror
sank the Bat-tonic, in my opinion.
Fucking hell! But Black Mirror's a glorious book. It's a glorious book. And also, you've soiled my copy of it so much.
Let me
tell you, listeners, this is how nice a man Jim is, despite his dickness. I lent him Black Mirror, and it was a lovely hardback with a dust cover. He claims he spilt water on it or something when it was at the side of his bed, and by way of penance, decided to buy me Dread on Blu-ray. And I'm like, Jim, you didn't need to do that. But I appreciate it. It was the first Blu-ray.
I still feel bad about it.
It was the first Blu-ray I ever owned. It was a gift from you.
I've not repaid it by. Well, I.
You should have kept my copy of Black Mirror and burnt it, seeing as you hated it that much.
And damaged a copy of a mediocre bat book.
The dust cover, no less. Not even the fucking actual book itself.
No, it was a hardback, and you don't fuck with a man's hardbacks.
Yeah, but
I should have bought it for you back.
You shouldn't.
So I roll. That's how a true collector rolls.
Yeah, you're.
I'm not sure if you've ever come across that, James, but
you're a good man.
Sorry.
I don't know. My watchman's the shrink wrap.
You got your 7 copies of Nightwing. Nightwing goes to the woods or some shit.
Oh, fuck you! I've got like 140 issues of Nightwing in there on top of my wardrobe.
Nightwing. Anyway, sorry, mate.
No.
There you go. But yeah, I'm not a big Scott Snyder fan.
You stop calling him Snyder as well.
What do you think it's called?
It's just Snyder. It's S-N-Y.
It's a German name. I used to live in Germany.
Yeah, but there's no C-H in there. There's not even an H there. It's just Snyder.
Schneider.
No, Snyder.
Yeah, but where do you think the name originates from?
The name Schneider, is S-C-H-N-E-I-D-R-D-E-R.
Yep. Yeah, but surely it's a derivative.
It's a derivative. It doesn't make it the same.
Sure, it's a derivative of the German name.
I'm pretty sure Connolly might be a derivation of O'Connolly. But where's the O? Where's the O? We don't call you O'Connolly, do we? It's just Snyder.
I'm just keeping it real. I'm sure he's proud of his German roots, if not his work.
We can't say he's got German roots.
Yeah, but when you listen to, like, Zack Snyder... People call him Zack Snyder.
No, it's Zack Snyder. How are?
I'm saying Snyder.
You're not. You're saying Snyder.
I'm saying Snyder.
You're saying Snyder.
What? Is this some Northwest shit?
The name is Snyder. Listen,
Snyder.
No, Snyder.
Snyder.
There's no sh in there.
Snyder.
You're throwing an H sound in there. It's an S followed by an N. It's an S followed by an N.
Zack Snyder.
No, Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
Stop it!
You're making yourself sound foolish.
Snyder.
Zack Snyder. What's going on, James?
Oh my god! How are you not hearing this? Say it. Break it down.
Zack Snyder.
You saying Snyder?
Snyder. S N Y D E R. Snyder.
S N Y D E R. Snyder.
So. By this rationale, my whole argument against Scott Snyder that I'm saying his name slightly wrong. Therefore, Batman is a god and Joker's a demon.
Oh, no.
Commissioner Gordon should be wearing a rabbit suit, a robotic rabbit suit. Stranger Things.
Oh.
I just watched it. You're near the end, so I won't ruin it.
Got two left. That's a wonderful show.
Fucking hell, bloody what a hell. Show.
Where did that come from? Who the fuck are the Duffer Brothers? Where did they come from? Yeah. How did they get that? What's going on?
I've got to say, that ticked every fucking box. There wasn't one dud in that show for me. It's only 8 episodes, but...
I'm impressed.
What a fine show.
It's getting universal critical acclaim. No one's got a bad thing to say about it.
Look beautiful, cast amazing, Soundtrack. Brilliant soundtrack. Yeah.
Soundtrack's wonderful. Yeah. The particular scene, one episode ended using Joy Division's Atmosphere, and the next episode started using a New Order tune. Fucking, it's a Mancunian boner fest.
Because you went to see New Order recently.
Oh, I went to see New Order. One of the greatest bands in the world, still going. And, oh God, brought a tear to all of my eyes.
Good man, good man.
It was a wonderful, wonderful time.
Oh, it's good to know whenever you're on my side of the hills, you'll always give me a shout.
It was sold out. I'm not going to...
Oh, there we go. Can't blame it on this woman anymore.
I wanted to go on my own.
I have to walk my dog.
A friend of mine, she was at Tramlines the other day. She's like, where are you going to be at Tramlines? And I'm like, well, I might be here, I might be there. She's like, well, I need to know where you're going to be. I'm like, why? I'm going to be here until a certain point, and then I'm going to go elsewhere because I'm mooching about, because that's the virtue of this festival. I'm going to wander about.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm not coming if you're not going to be where you say you're going to be. I'm like, well, I'll be here till a certain point.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to run about on my own. I'm like,
Don't come then, bitch.
I am. That's the fucking point. So, it's surprising the amount of people who are uncomfortable in their own company.
It
strikes me as weird, but I think we're the... Well, I'm weird for being comfortable to go to a gig on my own, go to the cinema on my own. Like, you're not supposed to stand there talking to your mate about your fucking mortgage for 3 hours. You're there to watch the band, you know what I mean?
So it
doesn't matter if you're on your own or not.
Did you miss the Friends of Batman this year's Tom Lines? Did you? I suppose
they didn't play, so I didn't miss them.
It was. I'd like to say it was weird not doing it, but it kind of passed me by a bit.
People grow up, Jim, don't they? So prancing like a tit.
Oh, Jesus.
No, to be fair...
I did see some mawkish, morose picture of the Clench having a shit time.
Yeah.
you like don't smile much on stage, do you?
There's nothing to smile about. We're talking about burying your faithless woman in the desert. It's songs of misery, man. It's not about fucking getting fingered and doing a poo on a train. Like your Ivan Novello nominated award winning fucking songs.
Why is Hal having to sit down as well? Is that his foot issues or is he just lazy?
It's a combination. All of the above. He likes to sit down. A lot of people do like sitting down, I've found.
I see, if you're a bass player, sit down can be kind of cool, to be fair.
It works. It's
sit down bass man is more forgivable than a sit down lead man.
I agree. No one's playing lead guitar sitting down.
Bass or slide guitar is a sit down job.
And he does
play a mean bass hell.
He does.
Tip taps up the stairs like a fucking pedo. Oh Jesus.
Just on his tiptoes. You can't hear him coming.
Speaking of sexual offenders. Moving swiftly on.
My Tiger Woods.
It's not about hell, by the way.
Yeah.
Equalizer. Have you seen Denzel's Equalizer?
Yeah.
What a sweet film.
Have you only just seen it?
Well, I saw it last year and then rewatched it recently and realised what a badass film it is.
It's a fucking strong movie.
My new favourite Denzel film.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it beating Man on Fire?
Never seen Man on Fire. I've recently rewatched Fallen though, which is a great one. Another good Denzel film.
Fallen.
Yeah, when
the angel thing. Is that an angel?
Is it Fallen? I think there might be more than one film called Fallen, but it's got John Goodman,
right,
and Denzel in it,
right.
And basically, Denzel. Slight spoiler, but he's chasing an evil entity. It starts off as a kind of generic detective story.
Right.
And becomes supernatural.
Interesting.
You never seen Fallen?
No. Is this around like 98?
That sort of era, late 90s. Right. Yeah, and it's the main characters are Denzel Washington and John Goodman. Oh mate, well, I'm certainly not going to ruin it for you.
No.
It's fucking solid.
I remember it coming out.
And it's got it's soundtracked by an old Rolling Stones song called Time is on my side. Okay. I don't know if that's the title of the song, but it plays throughout the film, and there's an incredibly creepy scene where that takes place in it. And really enjoyed rewatching that, and then watched The Equalizer on the back of revisiting a bit of Denzel, and hell of a film. Especially good to see Hit Girl in a different role.
Yeah. Equalizer's badass. My only beef with that film is they didn't reappropriate Stuart Copeland's awesome soundtrack to the TV show.
Fair dues.
My only issue.
Hell of a tune, man.
To be fair, I've got the fucking Edward Woodward box set down there. I can listen to that.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, man, it's down there. Let's bang on an episode later.
Sheet. Can we bang on the Adamant episode?
If you want. If it's in season one.
Adamant has a cameo as a baddie in that, apparently.
There's one with the Beastie Boys in as well.
Bloody hell.
as actors. But Denzel-wise, have you ever seen Training Day?
Yeah.
I've never seen Training Day, and apparently I should rectify that. You've never seen Man on Fire?
Yeah.
Fucking minute, it's one of Tony Scott's finer moments.
Right, okay.
He was going off piste a bit. I think it was before Deja Vu.
Yeah.
Which was shit. But
Deja Vu's alright.
Deja Vu's a bang of shit.
Bro.
It's absolutely terrible.
I won't hear this kind
fucking
of
fucking fat Val Kilmer channeling fucking Fatty McDavid. Dreadful.
Jesus Christ.
Deja Vu makes no fucking sense. Man on Fire, Denzel Washington brings the fucking Denzel Washington. It's amazing.
What the hell have you got against Deja Vu?
It's fucking awful.
It's a really good film.
It's not at all. It's a piece of shit. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Oh, mate. What are you doing? Yeah. Okay. Well, I quite enjoyed it.
Really? I think when I came out of the cinema after seeing Deja Vu, I just looked at my mates and did the generic wanker gesture.
Really?
I thought it was dog shit.
Training Day, I once heard it described as Simple Man's Narc, and I would stand by that.
You mean Narc?
Narc, yeah.
Ray Liotta and
not
Jason
not the computer game from the early 90s.
Also, like, that's a sweet game. Sweet game.
Which is into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 in the background as I record.
Yes!
It's all right. It's good. I enjoyed it when I first saw it, but it just gets a bit silly.
So you think Narc's better?
Training Day.
I've seen Narc. I enjoyed Narc.
Yeah, Narc. I mean, even Narc gets a bit silly, like fucking Busta Rhymes, isn't it, and stuff. He's in Daredevil, isn't he? Was that Coolio?
That was Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
Never forget, brother. Never forget.
What is Busta Rhymes' like big hit? I can never remember it. It's like...
There was one that sampled a Knight Rider theme tune. It was called Fire It Up, I think.
Wait, was the one that went, ooh-ha, ooh-ha?
Yeah,
that Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
That was a good song.
I don't think we could replicate it without having to pay some royalties. So just Google Busta Rhymes hits.
Yeah.
No, it was decent. That was Joe Carnahan's first film.
Right.
And actually, seeing as we're rewatching stuff, I rewatched The A Team the other night.
Oh yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Had its moments.
Yeah, it's
it was. Liam Neeson's great. I think it just lacked a good BA for me.
I'm with you. I think it should have been Ice Cube.
It would have killed it with Ice Cube as BA.
If Cube
had fucking beefed up, given it the full pain.
But I think because Ice Cube
fucking dropped that bottom lip big time. It would have killed it as BA.
It totally would.
Go for the haircut.
When John Singleton was supposed to make 18. Yeah. He was BA, but I think Ice Cube strikes me as a bit of a short fella.
Yeah.
Whereas you need someone who's a bit of a beast. So I get why they went with Rampage Jackson.
He didn't have any.
But
when you actually look at Mr. T, he's not a massive guy.
Is he not?
When you see him in Rocky, he's not that big. He's just like a brick. He's like a brick. He's like Ram Man. He's a like charisma filled tough little guy.
Mm.
So I think that's
I think Cube's just 10 years too old.
Yeah, it kind of just needed. Because let's face it, A-Team was all about Mr. T, right? I mean, because Hannibal's cool, Face Man.
I think for me the A-Team, like the Clench.
Okay.
Some of the parts.
Yeah.
You take one part away and it's not the A team.
Certainly not the FOBs then.
Well, you're more of a collective. You guys are more of a collective.
Well, I don't know.
Well, Blandman can go and make his way in the world, and you guys are nonetheless, you're not worse off, are you?
Oh, Wally.
You would have benefited. I'm not saying that.
Well, Blandman's out there recording Breaking Bad soundtrack while we're still playing 3 gigs in Sheffield. So. You answered your own question there.
Yeah, but the FOBs haven't changed as well. So yeah, the A team, some of the parts. So I think for what the film did,
yeah,
it was pretty spot on. It you could have tweaked things, but I thought it was it's a gloriously fun movie. That's my opinion.
I think the other casting was great.
Mm.
I'd say apart from BA, it was cast absolutely perfectly. I'd give it that.
I agree.
It just needed a badass, hardcore black dude as Mr. T. It lacked it. And they didn't even call him BA, did they, in the film? They called him...
He's called Bosco.
Yeah, what's all that about? Bosco, fuck off.
That's his name.
It's not fucking Dukes of Hazzard or some shit.
It's Bosco. What,
should he get his fucking shaggy dog in his cop car or something? Or is that Roscoe?
I don't know.
And it's not a Bosco, it's Bad Attitude Barakas, man. Where's this Bosco shit come from?
Yeah, but it wasn't, obviously, his given name wasn't fucking Bad Attitude.
Oh, I pity those fucking fools. I pity the fool that cast that dickhead. Mate, think of all, if they wanted someone big and funny and cool and hard, they should have cast that black dude from Idiocracy.
Terry Crews.
Yeah. He would have been a great BA.
Fucking hell.
Imagine him as BA.
You kind of blow my mind there, yeah. Because he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he's in The Expendables. Fucking hell.
I mean, that would have been great.
I think a little too old. I think too old.
Do you reckon?
I'm going to, let's see how old this Rampage Jackson fella is.
Here we go.
Because I've got a feeling he's probably got...
This is the good thing about when we do a Skype episode, because now I have to talk shit. 5 minutes while McVeigh's mediocre phone.
Mediocre phone. At least it doesn't have fucking buttons on it. Right, Terry Crews is 47.
Okay, that's alright, isn't it?
Yeah, Ice Cube. How old is he?
Cube's, I'd say 52.
Cube's 47.
Is he?
Yeah. How old's Quentin Rampage Jackson?
That's the guy who was BA in the film.
Yeah. I'm going to say he's about your age. I've not even looked.
I'm 38, so. 38?
He's 38. Yeah,
I could have got the role.
Oh, shit, son.
Well, that's a film I wouldn't want to see. Jim Connolly is BA Brackets.
I would pay
it's
five.
It's a fucking bomb.
I would pay £5 to see that.
Okay. The Turtles.
Well. Yeah, the Turtles. That's a bit of a weird segue there, Jim. I was going to try and bring it back. It's like, whilst you would be a good BA.
So you went to see Ninja Turtles 2, right?
I went to see Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah, any good?
Yeah, it's thoroughly decent.
Sweet.
Everyone's like, oh, man, Michael Bay's ruined my childhood. It's not your childhood, motherfucker. That doesn't change, you know, something new happening, just like the Ghostbusters thing doesn't change the quality of the thing you enjoyed 20 years ago. So it doesn't at all,
really. Okay.
Well, if someone does something new, it doesn't ruin something that happened in the past.
Okay,
does it?
Okay, we'll get back to that. How was it?
It was good. Yeah, I think we talked about this before. I thoroughly enjoyed the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Me too. I thought it was really good film.
I think what's good about it is that, unlike the Transformers films, it's not like Michael Bay is a fucking he's just a producer on this.
Yeah, you never mentioned him before, is he?
Michael Bay. Oh yeah, he's a hot new talent to be keeping your eye on. But no, everyone's.
You were going to do Michael Bay news, and you never did it, which is a shame, because it could have become a thing for us. Like, we could have pulled in all the Michael Bay fans. But there you go.
There aren't any. There's about three of us. But yeah, people are like, oh, anyway.
How does it expand on the first one then? Give us your review.
What it does is it realises that Ninja Turtles is predominantly, by and large, aimed at kids. And yeah. It's a fun childhood romp. Like, when I went to see this, the cinema was full of kids. They weren't annoying. It was fine. It was fun. They got Bebop and Rocksteady in there.
Fucking
hell. They got fucking Krang in there.
From what I saw, Bebop and Rocksteady looked sweet. They looked bang the fuck on.
They were tip top. They were tip top. Krang was ace, though a little bit sparingly used. But Krang was mint. My only beef with it is that they fucked up Casey Jones.
Oh yeah, with that guy from Arrow.
The guy from Arrow, and that's not his fault. But just like it didn't even look like Casey Jones. It was just some chimp in a hockey mask. He needed to, he needed to say whatever he said, Goongala or whatever. And he needed to have long hair. He needed to be some sort of dude. But this fucking chimp from Arrow,
some pretty boy with a
pretty boy with a six pack. and he's a prison guard. And it's like, what? Come on.
That's
bullshit. He's a prison guard who, essentially, he's transporting Bebop and Rocksteady and Shredder and the Foot Clan fucking kidnap him and thus the story begins. And because they got lost under his watch, he gets signed off for being shit and he's not happy about it. And that's his entire thing. So he decides to don a hockey mask and start going all...
That sounds lame.
It's a little bit lame, but it doesn't ruin the film because the rest of it's fucking ace. There's some really nice gags in there. Yeah, one thing that's did you ever watch Arrested Development?
No.
I'm
aware of the band, but not the show.
Fucking hell. The TV show.
Don't know.
TV show, a wonderful, wonderful sitcom.
Yeah.
It's currently available on Netflix.
Okay.
But it's a brilliant sitcom, and one of the running gags is that the Bluth family don't know how to do impressions of a chicken. So whenever someone called Michael a chicken in it, one of them would be like Job, who Will Arnett, who is in the Turtles.
Oh, Will Arnett, like a Batman.
Yeah, who's in the Turtles films.
Yeah.
Because of the adventures of the first film, where the Shredder is kind of defeated, he decides that he takes the credit, even though it was the Turtles who captured Shredder, who defeated him. Will Arnett takes the credit and becomes... He says that he's the Falcon. And he becomes this sort of, like... He goes from, like, cameraman to becoming, like, celebrity. He's like, yeah, I'm the Falcon. And it's Will Arnett. He's doing perfect.
That sounds great.
It's really good. Yeah. But there's a bit where the Turtles are watching an NBA game. And they're watching it from the... from right up in the rafters. And Will Arnett comes on as the Falcon, and he's like, yeah, the guy who saved New York from the Shredder, and he's getting all this celebrity acclaim, and he's having a bit of a fucking do in front of the media, and upstairs in the rafters, the Turtles are all watching him, the Falcon. And what's funny about it is that in Arrested Development, which Will Arnett was in, there was a big gag about how no one in that family could do a chicken impression, and his chicken impression was some sort of chock 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 chock, and another family member's chicken impression was cool, cool, cha, and it was all fucking, none of them could master a chicken impression. So in Turtles, when you see the four turtles doing a shit chicken impression to do an impression of the Falcon, and they're all in the rafters going, it was a nice doff of the cap to fans of Arrested Development.
Okay, cool.
And good, I thought, and this is a fucking good movie, basically, and it's written by the badasses who wrote the last two Mission Impossibles.
Right, yeah.
But they still nailed it on it's a good kiddie friendly but still ticks the boxes for punters like me.
Yeah. Well, I'm bang up for that shit.
I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray.
I just missed it in my kind of life transition. It flew by. Whereas the first one I kind of got the chance to see it at the cinema and really enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed the first one, you'll enjoy this more.
Yeah, man. And you've got it, haven't you, on Blu-ray?
I've got the first one,
Wouldn't mind showing my offspring, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
She loves the Turtles.
Take it with you. I've still got your copy of The Black Hole, so...
Oh, good man. Because I've never seen the Lego movie, but I just saw that trailer for the Lego Batman, and... Just in love with his Batman straight away.
He's badass. He's right.
He looks the best Batman ever.
He's such a dickhead.
It's like Batman making a fucking microwave meal with his cowl on in a smoking jacket or something.
Oh, why not?
I think we're going to have good times. Because I think I'm going to take to see that in February when it's out. And then we're going to go and see Wonder Woman later in the year when she's a bit older, when she can handle the violence. But she loves violence, because I was telling you earlier, I took her to Bouncy Castle the other day. And she went on the slide and immediately pile-drive some other kid twice her size and made this kid cry. So she's obviously penchant for the ultra-violence, my little one.
She's learned a lot.
She's like a kind of little Irish girl crossed with Ram Man. Violent miscreant.
But she's got a neck. She's got an actual neck.
Yeah, yeah. And she did it with a butterfly drawn on her face. I paid for her to get her face painted first. She chose the butterfly and then made the little kid cry.
So you can't be angry at a kid with a butterfly on her face.
Yeah, exactly. Although she was... I did suggest Batgirl to the face painter, but the face painter looks a bit mediocre. I was kind of like, oh, what have you got? What's in your fucking portfolio? And she's like, oh, we got this fucking butterflies and some fairy shit and Spider-Man. I'm like, Spider-Man? Fucking hell. Might as well give me a fucking butterfly. More balls than that shit. Yeah, speaking of Spider-Man.
Which leads us nicely on.
Speaking of Spider-Man, McVeigh, for years I've been on the Marvel camp, kind of defending McVeigh's argument's been, oh, Power Rangers, day glow, primary colours, daylight sky.
Exactly, yeah.
And then went to see Civil War and was like, oh yeah, McVeigh's got a point here. And when I spoke to him about it, expecting him to rip a new arsehole, he's like, oh, I had a lovely time at the cinema. Such a wonderful day watching Civil War. So tell us about Civil War, James, your new favourite film.
You dick ass. Civil War was mint. It had a lot of pressure, like it had a lot of riding on it, because Winter Soldier was, we can agree Winter Soldier was pretty badass, right?
Yeah, it was a good year.
One of the best Marvel movies.
Winter Soldier, Guardians, and from the Fox Camp, was it? The
Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Sweet Year for Marvel via various studios.
What was that? 2014? That was 2014, wasn't it?
Must have been, yeah. Probably, yeah, 2 years back.
Fucking hell. So, yeah.
Diminishing returns ever since.
So, Winter Soldier, all good. And the same lads, doing Civil War. Yeah. I had
Is it really the same team?
Same directors, yeah.
Christ, right. What are they called again? The Russo brothers or something.
The Russo brothers, yeah.
Blimey.
I
wouldn't have guessed it was the same guys, because it was a different experience for me.
I think you must have had sand in your vagina that day, mate.
Maybe I needed a little boy with no hair on his balls and a nice pink arse next to me.
Well, I'm not saying nonsense that the kids would have improved this scenario, but you know.
What was good about it for you then, James?
To be honest, if it didn't have Ant-Man and Spider-Man in it, then it would have been a very uncomfortable, dry rub. And I think they saved it. Particularly the dickheads on the tarmac sequence.
quote myself.
I think Ant-Man added some levity. Spider-Man added some cheekiness, and that was the best cinematic Spider-Man I've ever seen. I'm good with that. It was fine. I had no beef with it. Granted, I'm not saying it's the best. I still rather watch Iron Man 3 over that.
Right.
So
right.
that's where I'm putting it. But I fucking had a whale of a time watching Civil War. I can't remember the end, but that entire sequence where they finally go head to head, Vision. To be fair, Vision wearing a fucking...
my old school uniform. Where's your tie, lad? Where's your
shirt,
tie?
Shirt and cravat.
Where's your tie?
Vision just looked ridiculous.
He was literally wearing my old school uniform minus the tie. He was wearing a bottle green sweater and a white shirt.
He did have a cravat.
Without his tie. I can't believe it.
Did he have
open
a cravat?
Tie. He would have got into trouble with Mr. Lawrence. But
nonsense.
It was... I thought it was fucking awful, mate. Sorry, but it was...
Yeah, you called it civil war.
I kept looking at my watch and thinking, well, my phone, and thinking, when is it, what's going on? When is it going to get better? And I was thinking, oh, Spider-Man's in it soon. And then some little lad showed up. Oh, I'm here. I said, oh, it's Iron Man. It was a near walkout for me, in all honesty.
Wow.
It was a near walkout. I'd quite happily watch Iron Man 2 again before Civil War. I thought it was diarrhea.
Jesus.
So
I've got to say, Jim, your standards have now gone down in my estimation.
Well, now I'm going to think less of you for how could, well, after all the shit you've said about Marvel films.
No,
how can you defend Civil War?
Because
it kind of epitomised all the shit you throw at Marvel.
No. Look back. Listen back, if you can be asked.
Well, you can be asked, you won't listen to one fucking episode, have you?
I know what I fucking said, and it is the fact that the Avengers films are pieces of shit.
It was an Avengers film, though, is it? It's Avengers not, film not, lacking Hulk and Thor, the only interesting characters fucking in it.
It's not an Avengers film at all.
It was...
It's flabby, and but it's not an Avengers film. It's still a Captain America adventure, and it's about what is right and what's also right. And that's what was interesting about it.
One thing I did appreciate as a comic fan, you know, a guy who reads comics, James, you know, don't know if that's come,
I've heard
you've
of
come
those
across
people.
Those guys I've before. Those I might be in a dick now.
Well, continue. You're accurate, so it's fair.
There was the scene where Cap should have blatantly killed Spider-Man, which would have been great, where Spidey's holding some airport shit, isn't he?
Probably.
And Cap could just throw his shield and kill him, like, great, that's the one dead cunt. Instead of that...
one dead cunt.
Instead of that, Cap goes, where are you from, son? And he's like, Queens! And he goes, hey, I'm from Brooklyn. And it reminded me of an old Todd McFarlane Spidey series that had Cap in it, where, like, Cap's, like, the older guy who's probably, like, our age now. And Spidey's, like, the little kid kind of looking up to Cap. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And I could see that working in the future, like Cap giving Spidey some advice and all that.
Yeah.
So I like that side. But all that cool concept art for Spidey, though, like Marvel just like shit kicker Disney style. Oh, no. And then let's just make him look like fucking the Toby Spider-Man with a couple of fucking black armbands on. You know what I mean? Instead of this cool concept.
I'm not a Spidey fan, but I get the impression that he's not. It's not that. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen that kind of homemade effort.
That would have sold it a lot more for me,
We might get that in Homecoming, whenever that emerges.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that'll probably sell the character much more. And if he's not crying over some girl for the whole film, that would be great.
I think what I was more impressed at is that I've never given a shit about Spider-Man, and we've had 5 Spidey films now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, well, technically 6, counting Captain...
I mean, this is the first one that I've seen a Spider-Man character, and he's in it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a fella whose film I'd want to watch. The other fucking 10 hours of shit... Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. I'm like, yeah, it was entertaining, but I really didn't give a shit. There was something about him, and I thought, yeah, fair play, let's go. This is the Spider-Man I'd want to watch. Those other two dicks.
I thought the first Tobey Maguire film with Defoe as the Green Goblin, if he hadn't had that fucking crash helmet on, I thought that would have been a really good film.
The second one was better.
Was it?
Yeah, with Dr. Octopus.
Mm.
Oh, it's way better.
Why was it better?
Because I remember it being better.
Because he like.
Because I could see
gets
the
on a train I and could, gets his mask pulled off and I stops could, crying
I
or
I
something.
I can see his mouth move.
His pants come down on
what
the train.
What I really enjoyed most was the third one.
Everyone loves Alfred fucking Molina. They never heard of him before or after that film.
I fucking hate Alfred Molina.
Fucking
I watched Alfred Molina.
Shit, Dr. Octopus. I'm sorry. But...
Fuck you. I watched Alfred Molina in LCID on ITV in the fucking
1980s. ITV. That says it all.
I've been an Alfred Molina fan.
He watched a shit actor on a shit channel, motherfucker.
Oh my
Shut God. The fuck up.
That was Jim
Alfred Molina.
That was Jim slapping his own thigh.
Wasn't Alfred Molina in... Alligator one or some shit.
What the fuck's that?
That alligator.
Alligator one.
I went to see some shit alligator film at uni for a joke because we got some free tickets, and it had him in it. Okay. So that shows what class of actor we're dealing with. Maybe it was some Alfred Molina lookalike. I don't know.
I think you lost it, Jim.
Lake Placid.
What?
He was in Lake Placid.
Was it Oliver Platt? You. That was Oliver Platt, you idiot.
Have you have you seen Spider-Man 2 recently? Because
no,
the action scenes are CG bullshit, and everything else is Peter Parker crying. It's fucking awful. It's the diarrhea. It's Marvel soiling its pants before it reaches the toilet.
That was when Sony were in charge of that.
Right.
It was before Marvel got the keys to the kingdom. This is the first Spidey that's been under Marvel's charge. Well, that's why we got the fucking Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans that were completely pointless.
To be fair to Defoe, if it's ridiculous they put him in that stupid helmet.
Yeah, that was utter dog shit. I'll agree with you.
But if you can get your head around that, I really like that first one. But the second one's just like tossing off over that annoying ginger girl.
All right,
who just shags every, like, Defoe, like, what's his name? What's his name in the film? Osborne. No, Harry Osborne. No, Harry's the kid.
Harry's the kid.
Norman Osborne. Yeah. He accuses him of being a slapper, right? And he's totally right, because within about two films, she shags five guys. She shags Flash. She shags Harry. She shags Spidey.
In Mary Jane?
Yeah. And then she shags... No, Flash, Harry.
Right.
She shags JJ's kid. He's a spaceman. A bit like Tim Peake.
Oh, yeah.
The Tim Peake of the Marvel Universe. And then she bins him off for Parker. And then when she's with Parker, she shags Harry. Doesn't she shag Venom as well?
Oh, bloody hell, eh?
Fucking Norman Osborn had his head screwed on there. She's a total slapper.
This is interesting. I like how you've come up with this serious beef about a character in a bunch of films that no one's even talking about now, apart from us. Everyone's forgotten. I was out. Like, you, the guitarist. Well, the slide guitarist in the Clench. Oliver. Shout out to Oliver.
Big shout out.
He got a lot of respect. Not respect. He got a lot of attention for looking like Tobey Maguire. So when Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man, he was fucking. I don't know. I don't know what he was up to, but he could have done what he wanted. And even this week,
bat suits under the bed sheets.
Even this weekend, someone said to him, "Has anyone ever told you?"
Oh shit!
Yeah,
shot a couple of webs.
Yeah, but then, yeah, this is like 10 years ago. What's Tobey Maguire up to these days?
Actually, and Ollie's going out with a red-headed lady, isn't he? It was meant to be.
Fucking hell! I never thought of that. Christ.
Does he listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, it's probably good. Probably a good thing.
Fucking hell, I never thought of that.
Shit, son. But, sorry, I totally shut on Spider-Man 2 there.
So, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I've seen it a couple of times. I enjoyed it. I thought there were elements of Spider-Man 3 that were alright.
Yeah, there were.
It was nice to see Venom in action. Sandman had a nice story. That was fine. But it just felt like too many ingredients. And that's the problem with the fucking Avengers movies. What was got to pull it back? Civil War had all these ingredients, but it didn't. It seemed to strike a balance. Like I didn't need to know. Yeah. I didn't need to know what Ant-Man was up to prior to him turning up in the van. I didn't need to know what Spider-Man was up to. I didn't need to know what Hawkeye was up to. And I thought that was. I thought it still managed to be, feel like a Captain America movie with these other people in. And I think it was Civil War where we had the fucking young Robert Downey Jr., which looked all freaky.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, they did that pretty well, I thought, because he actually did look young
Yeah. So I was thinking this is weird science. Talk.
I was wanting science, to not like zero. It. Yeah, but yeah. They did a quite a good job on that. Yeah. Strangely.
But it was weirder, and it's also like at least Captain America didn't feel like a guest star in his own sequel.
He had a nice pink ass, nowhere on his balls. That's the opening quote.
He had a nice pink ass, no hair on his balls. Captain America, Civil War. Tagline, bunch of dickheads on the tarmac. Nice one. Me for the Beast recommends.
But, you know... Yeah, you know what, though? Basically, like, if I'd have been a little kid watching Civil War, I would have loved it. I would have fucking loved it, and that's great. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. It was based at me as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I've got no right to rip that down 30 years later. Whatever. You know, 28 years
can
later.
Can we switch that around? How do you think the childhood you who was fuck knows, like I was 9 when I saw the Keaton Batman.
Yeah.
You would have been 10, 12.
You're going to say Batman v Superman. I would have fucking loved it.
As a child.
I would have busted a fucking fat one over that shit.
You'd have actually gone into puberty 3 years earlier. Holy shit! This film's putting hair on my balls.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean...
Do you get what I mean, though?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's... It's a bit like Doctor Who, because... But like Doctor Who's not for me anymore. It's just not for me, right? I don't think it's for you either, is it?
I don't know. I tried my best to stick with Doctor Who. And when Peter Capaldi got cast, I actually lost my shit. I was really excited.
I watched the
first two episodes, and I'm like,
yeah,
what's going on here?
It's kind of Doctor Who's moved beyond my catchment zone, if you know what I mean.
Mm. I still fully intend to watch it. But I don't know when I will.
Well, like I've just accepted that it's not for me.
Okay.
And I think whoever it's for, that's great. That's fucking fantastic. They just love it or hate it, whatever you want. It's not for me. And I guess with like Batman, Superman, it's not for everybody. But I really enjoyed it.
It's for us. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm not going to show it my kid anytime soon, but then in February I can take my kid to see fucking Lego Batman, and she'll fucking love it.
Yeah.
Which is great, because then we've got like, an Adam West Batman, it's an animated thing, is coming out this year. So I can show that as well. It's like, I already show Adam West Batman. I watched Surf's Up Joker's Under the other day, and it was fucking amazing. You ever seen that? The episode you bought me the figure of Adam West in his pants.
Is it still in the box?
What's that?
Is it still in the packet?
Yeah.
Get it out of the packet.
Oh, why would I do that? Why would I soil it?
So you can touch it. So you can feel it.
I don't need to touch
it. So you can pose it. So he's fucking surfing.
It looks good on my wall, but where am I going to put it? Where am I going to put it?
Look at Crockett and Tubbs up there. They're having a fucking discussion.
Yeah, but if you were a toddler, mate. That crocodile would now be in the bath, looking shit, looking fucked.
To be fair,
Tubbs would be like halfway down a bed, lost forever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know that crocodile.
I'm saying. It's a good setup, to be fair.
It's a pretty sweet setup. Elvis does actually have a hole in his mouth that if you submerged him in water and filled him with water, he would spit water at you.
Oh, shit.
My advice ties recognise.
Oh, I like your style.
Anyway.
I like your
boom,
style.
Boom!
Boom!
That's how that shit goes down on the Beast. But yeah, so, right, your Batman is still in the packet for safekeeping until your child is old enough to respect.
Yeah, I've kind of... I've tried to tell her that all this stuff will be hers one day. Okay. She's only 2.5.
It'll be
open
though by the time she gets around.
You know, she's well into a bit of animated Superman though.
Good.
Which is cool. And I know it's like your bad form, like I stopped listening to Six Music because Lauren Laverne fucking talks about kids all the time. Instead of gigs she should have been at. She's fucking public funded gigs she should have fucking attended. She couldn't be arsed. Like, oh, fucking little Timmy's got a fucking got a great piece of ice cube the other day. Ooh, and I couldn't be arsed to go to that fucking gig. Nothing worse than listening to Lauren Laverne talk about her shitty kids.
So that explains why the Beast haven't had a podcast in about 3 months. Jim C's been wiping nappies out and
wiping a bum.
Wiping bum.
She does a fine poo on a potty these days, mate.
No one cares.
In all honesty,
I don't give a shit.
She did a shit yesterday that made me proud. I was like, that looks like it came out of my ass. It was like the fucking USS Sulaco. USS Sulaco of shits.
It's a Sulaco. But that's
Ripley,
not...
Ripley would have got in trouble for dumping that shit. In fact, talking of Ripley...
Okay,
go on. Seeing as this is a male-orientated podcast and there's blatantly not one woman listening, why does...
If you're there, announce yourselves.
Ripley was ace, right?
Yeah.
Sarah Connor, excellent. Mm. Wonder Woman, mediocre TV show, but Wonder Woman was pretty cool. I never remember anyone saying, oh, strong female role, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, they were cool characters, right? They were just cool people who rose to the floor.
What was your first one?
Probably Wonder Woman, I suppose.
No, you said someone, then Ripley. Who did you say first?
Sarah Connor. It's just kind of, they were just... cool characters that rose to the floor. They weren't classed as strong female leads. They were just like cool characters, right?
So yeah.
Suddenly it's like strong female lead. And you're kind of like, do we need another strong female lead as the Ghostbusters or Star Wars or some shit? I think it's
become an issue nowadays. Especially with the alien thing. The aliens films have had... one of my tutors at film school,
yeah,
she wrote an entire fucking, I don't know if she wrote a book, but she wrote an entire piece on the whole notion of feminism and matriarchy in the alien universe.
Oh, was but it really was, feminism though? I mean,
no, but it was the whole, there's a lot of
just cool
cool
characters that happen to be female.
Yeah, no,
I think we've kind of lost that a bit, like.
Yeah, it's all,
it's become a thing, you know.
I get what you're saying.
Sorry to I jumped on your point there. I apologise.
No, it wasn't really much of a point. It was a different kind of angle.
I jumped on your point. I'm sorry.
But it was a different angle. With the alien series, there's an overtly sexual element about it. Everything about it from Alien 1 is about rape. The rape of a body and something.
It is a bit Geiger rapey, yeah.
It's totally rape.
I'd agree with that.
And the alien, it's very phallic looking, and everything's just penetrative and gross, and then you get the one survivor being a woman. So then you throw her again into the next film where it's just her and essentially a bunch of men, even Vasquez, she's very manly.
You know
what I mean?
There's a whole
feminist track going through the Alien saga, which probably wanes off and. With Resurrection, but I'm still good with Resurrection. And you
fucking
love Resurrection. But you can forget the other
hell of a film.
Hey?
Hell of a film.
It's fucking ace. It's beautifully shot, but no one likes it except for us, I guess.
Ripley looks a bit like Elvis the Crocodile, in it, but never mind. So I've just shot on your point now a bit.
I don't think you have. But I think it's Sarah Connor. Yeah, you're right. No one. Sarah Connor never gets any kind of credit.
I never thought of Sarah Connor as a badass, you know what I mean?
She's a badass in the film series, whereas with Ripley and Aliens, she's the figurehead of it, isn't she?
Yeah.
No one really kind of actually gives that the credit. Not that it should be due any credit, because we're just kind of used to it. It's like, oh, it's Ripley. And no one really kind of considers the fact that she's actually a girl. Do you know what I mean?
No one makes
that point.
The reason I'm bringing it up is partly over the Ghostbusters thing and partly like our friend K-Dog today on Facebook made the point that the new Star Wars... the most recent Star Wars trailer has been out a few months. The main character goes, "I rebel," in a sort of posh, annoying voice. it's a bit annoying, and it's all very Hunger Games and kind of
What's wrong with that?
It's annoying, and it's kind of like forced, and it's not just Ripley and Sam Connor just kind of, these guys are cool, and like in Dread, like what's her name, Lena Headey's just a cool baddie. She's not like a strong female lead.
Yeah,
same with like Stranger Things, it's like Eleven's not they didn't force the whole, this show's got a strong female lead.
Yeah, but I don't think
they just let you kind of find it, and it's like, why are we being forced with this whole, this film's got.
Did you really feel that in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, did you feel that Rey felt forced?
Not really.
Did I?
I didn't say that.
I'm not saying that he did. But
because it was more on John, what's his name?
Boyega.
Yeah.
Star Wars was more of a fucking ensemble piece. I was more interested in Adam Driver being all.
The new one's very much Hunger Games Star Wars, isn't it? I think, and it.
I don't know. We've seen a trailer, so we're seeing stuff out of context. My biggest issue with the new Star Wars is it's directed by Gareth Edwards, and it's probably going to be boring as fuck.
Oh yeah, you're not a fan.
It's going to contain minimal Star Wars fun until the fucking end, when you're like, oh, brilliant, that's 2.5 hours, I'm not going to get back.
You know what? I mean, since we last podded, I had a mediocre trip to France.
Your France trip where you get thrown out of a swimming pool for not wearing. What do you get thrown out of it?
French have got this weird rule about swimwear.
So you need to wear. Is it right? You need to wear Speedos.
Basically, if you're not wearing a thong as a man, you get thrown out of the pool. It's fucking terrible.
That's terrifying. It's not just terrible, it's terrifying.
Because I thought I was getting. I got thrown out twice. It's the first time I thought that they thought they weren't swim shorts. So then I realised one of the boxer shorts I wear were Speedos, because they're just like
swimming shorts tend to have like a mesh lining, right?
Yeah, like proper short shorts, 80s style footballer shorts with Speedo written on. And I thought, they weren't going to throw me out for these, because these are like blatantly like swimming pool shorts. You know, like any shorter, they'd be up my arse.
Right.
I got thrown out for them as well, and I'm like,
mate,
I was like, man, what do you want me to wear? And he's like, yeah, you have to wear trunks. I'm like, I was like,
we're talking budgie smugglers there.
Yeah, I was like, it was like trunks. I would have like a fucking caterpillar of pubes sneaking out, like a moustache, pant moustache.
I imagine you have a bit of a gut rolling over as well.
I was like, yeah, I'd rather just not swim here than wear those, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd rather be dead, frankly.
So that was a shame, but I got to go to Cannes, and I'm pretty sure I saw Garrett from Dark Knight Rises, who was then it was also in that new Star Wars film. Well, I don't know his name. He was in that series on Netflix.
You mean Daggett?
Daggett, yeah, Daggett.
What's his name? Oh fuck.
He was having some food at some restaurant we went to.
He's a suave. Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn, yeah.
He's good.
And he was outside, and I looked at him, and he kind of caught my eye, and I thought, I'm sure that's that guy, but I was like pushing Roisin's buggy.
Wearing a fucking thong. And flip-flops.
I thought, if that is that dude from Dark Knight Rises, this is the wrong place to approach him. And it wasn't long after the Cannes Film Festival, so I was like, maybe it is, maybe just hung around for a couple of weeks to chill.
It might like me for you.
So
have you seen him?
Although he looks a bit more grey than in the films, but then I Google imaged him and he does look quite grey. So, and I saw him in The Black Seas.
How's that?
Which I really enjoyed. That was great. That was great.
Have you seen Lost River?
No.
It's fucking ace. Check it out. It's
cool.
It's on Netflix. It's the directorial debut of Ryan Gosling.
Shit, right.
And
cool.
it's a freaky noir set in this town in which the money's dying out because a river has literally been diverted.
Yeah.
Christine Hendricks from Mad Men is in it.
Right, she's got
a teenage
strong female lead.
She's not really the lead, but she's in it. She's got a teenage son and a baby. She lives across the street from some other family.
What's it called, mate? So I'm genuinely going to check this out.
It's called Lost River.
Lost River, right? Yeah.
And it's got a wicked soundtrack. Like, she's struggling to kind of pay her bills and stuff, because obviously the town's dying and the house is there. She goes to the bank and she runs.
Must have been men have stumped the town out, right? Men are to blame for this shit, surely.
Mate.
Fucking hate those men, dickheads. What are they doing?
She runs into Ben Mendelsohn at the bank.
Yeah.
Gives her an idea for another job.
Shit, right, okay.
Which is a little below board.
Bloody hell.
She's struggling to pay away. He sees that she needs help. He can help, but not with the bank. He can help in a different manner.
Shit.
Gives her this other job. And she goes off another thing. But what's fucked up about it is, one of the highlights is, the teenage son of hers, he's robbing copper from the old buildings. He's out there robbing copper, and he hears this fucking voice on the megaphone. And there's this knobhead going, this is my copper, this is my copper.
Yeah.
And there's this weird Cadillac going through this dilapidated neighbourhood. There's a knobhead in the back wearing a sequin tracksuit, and it's Matt Smith from Doctor Who.
Bloody hell.
Being a fucking menace with a shaved head, looking like a fucking psychopath, saying, this is my town, get the fuck out.
Bloody hell.
It's fucking ace. But basically, it's Ryan Gosling's directorial debut. It's got an awesome soundtrack by the guy who did. He did something. He's part of the Chromatics.
Okay.
He did something to do with the Drive soundtrack. Basically,
cool.
Lost River is ace. It got shit canned on its release, and now it's become sort of a cult film, and it's well worth your time.
I'll give that a shot. Well, like, these peepers might have peeped that very man, but I was in no position to say hello because I was, I don't know, about to eat a burger or some shit.
Yeah. Probably too busy making sure that your knackers were all inside your underwear. So thrown out a swimming pool twice for wearing shorts that would preserve your modesty. Why?
It was apparently it's a French thing.
Did you?
Although I was like, the guy that threw me out was actually quite nice about it. So I said, well, when I figured out what he was actually saying, I was like, well, look, man, you're wearing shorts, so what's the deal? You're wearing the same shorts I'm wearing, so why have I got to get out of the pool? And it's like, it's just the rules. I'm like, yeah, but why? And he's like, well, it's just the rules. I'm like, I know it's the rules, but why is it the rules? And it's like,
what if someone gets into trouble? Can he get in the pool?
Yeah, it was, apparently it's just a French, it's like a cultural difference thing.
I know a French guy. I'm going to speak to him about this.
Yeah, you should. You should. In fact, you should not only speak to him about it, but you should be very aggressive about it and accuse him of causing the problem.
Well, that's how we deal about things. That's how we deal with things post-Brexit.
But, it was sad. But on a plus note, whilst I was there, because it was on one of these Eurocamp things, but it was like a French-run Eurocamp.
I don't know what that means.
It's basically a caravan park, but like so-called posh caravan park.
Okay.
And but not really that posh. And
sounds awful.
On a plus note. The French guys, the retired French guys, love outdoor bowls.
That's bull, right?
Yeah, man. And like, we walked past one day with Roisin, just me and her, because there was like a kids playing ground up the road, and she was like dead interested, and they were all like, these old French guys, like, hello, little girl. And then the guy around the bar spoke fluent English, and he was cool, and it was like, it went a Euro. Football, whatever was on, and I was like, felt obliged to go and watch the England games, and it was like, hey, I hope England played better than France. France was fucking shit. The French games were fucking awful. You, England played way better, and so you know,
I don't,
pretended to give a shit for a couple of days about football, and you know,
it's fucking brilliant football. I love it.
We did get some nice French beers, actually. Vedette.
Vedette's nice. It's
Vedette. Extra Weisse.
You went a bit German there, Jim. So, Jim turned some French beer into some German beer there. And I'm not sure how. But I wanted to bring it back to the entire point of this podcast, is to talk about shit that we've been watching, shit we've been enjoying. Obviously, with Jim hiding out and going dark and being non-communicative, we have to find our own way, you know. And anyway, we do know that I like Michael Bay's films.
Yeah, we may have crossed that bridge.
Have you heard of him? Is this hot new director from Hollywood?
Go on, what's... so you were telling me about 13 something or other?
13 hours. Basically, okay. What Michael Bay has started doing now between the Transformers movies is by doing little smaller projects, which would make a fucking, you know, an amateur director, like someone who's asking for a budget, fucking throw up, because he's used to dealing with $200 million.
Right, yeah.
And now he can just spunk $25 million. This is fucking crazy Monopoly money. But he did it with Pain and Gain, which was all right. But recently he did 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Okay.
Came out in the States before Christmas, came out over here in January, February for about a week. And now it's rocked up on Blu-ray. And it's a fucking gem.
My face got... I've just physically handled a physical copy of that shit, which I might be taking home with me.
You're welcome to borrow it. It's fucking... It's gold. It doesn't have the Michael Bay issues that you would have. There's no racism. There's no sexism.
What?
No, that... Look at his films. There's a lot of terrible shit going on there. If you can analyse it, and I've watched them, there's some terrible shit going on.
Okay.
But this is just essentially dudes on a mission, and it's based it's based on a true story. And what's impressive about it is it doesn't have the shit that I just laid out, but it's also not America. Yeah, it's not patriotic. It's not pro war, but it's also not judgmental either, in the way that Lone Survivor wasn't either, which is interesting. But basically, it's like Michael Bay does Assault on Precinct 13. It's men on a mission under siege in an embassy in Libya for 13 hours, and it looks and feels like a Michael Bay film. It's fucking insanely short. It's gloriously explosive, but it's still got that kind of claustrophobic feel of men under siege until someone comes and says, "It's over now."
I'm liking the sound of this.
It's fucking decent, and it's just like Michael Bay's films. It's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah,
but it fucking flies
like
by.
Like our last podcast. Nothing wrong with that time scale.
Exactly, it's all gold. And having recently rewatched Transformers 4, which I'm gonna reappraise. I think when I reviewed it the summer before last,
you gave it 8 out of 10, as I recall.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fucking terrible.
Oh, I won't hear this kind of thing on my podcast.
It's fucking terrible.
On
I'm
our
doing,
podcast, rather.
I am reappraising the Transformers movies now at the moment.
It's on Netflix now, actually, the last one. So I'm going to watch it and
watch it. Let me know what you think.
Chime in.
It's fucking compromised, and it's due to I think it's purely due to the investment of Chinese investors.
You're bloody racist.
That's not racist. They wanted advertising. They wanted things to be shot on certain locations.
Yeah.
And if you watch it, it's so compromised. It's
right.
Do you remember in Wayne's World, where you've seen Wayne's World? Do you remember it well enough?
Fucking, have I seen Wayne's World?
There's a bit where...
Come off it, man.
There's a bit where they're talking about sponsorship, and there's a bit that's essentially a fucking advert for Doritos and Pepsi, and Wayne's like, whatever it is, I will never bow to any sponsor while he's chomping on a bag of Doritos. Fucking Transformers 4 is like that.
Right.
In terms of Stanley Tucci's hiding out on a roof, and what's that behind him? It's a fridge full of some delicious Chinese milk drink.
Oh dear.
And he sits there waiting for the Autobots to rock up whilst he's hiding this nuclear weapon, and he sits there slurping on this Chinese milk drink that he's holding specifically so you can see the fucking design on the thing. And it's like, well, it doesn't make any sense to us because we can't read Chinese.
That's
but it's just and it's just it's so cynical. It's just it's dirty.
Did you ever see that Dracula film that was all set in like a Virgin Megastore or something?
Yeah, no?
Johnny Lee Miller in it. It was like Dracula 2000 or some shit.
Fucking hell, no.
It was basically Dracula set in a Virgin Megastore, and it was fucking awful.
Jesus.
And it disappeared straight away.
Good.
But yeah, it seemed to be very Virgin sponsored quite horribly.
Well, that, there you go.
Although maybe, you know, maybe we've got a listener that might fill us in on that.
I'm happy to be corrected. I'm happy to be corrected. But what's good about going back to 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, yeah, is it doesn't have any fucking stars in it. It's got the biggest name in it is Jim from The Office, the American Office.
Okay.
The dude who played Gale in Breaking Bad.
Really? Right. Okay.
He's in it.
He was all right.
Yeah.
Sweet Steve was a big fan of him.
Yeah, he's an arsehole in this, but...
What, Sweet Steve? He's all right.
Well, no, we know Sweet Steve's an arsehole, but also Gale's an arsehole. And it's got... what's his name? Nicky Sabotka from The Wire, who's also in...
Oh, fucking hell, I hated him.
He's in Orange is the New Black... But he's good in this. He's perfectly likeable, and right, it's just this squad of, they're not army dudes. They're kind of ex CIA guys, who are private contractors who are just hired to do a job, and they find out that they're in the shit.
Okay,
it's grim. It's violent, and it's one of Michael Bay's best films. It's fucking amazing.
Shit, man. I'll give this a whirl.
It's thoroughly ace.
Probably going to wind it up soon, but
yeah, we probably should.
I'd like to kind of hit another negative note, and I think it was another Netflix jobby. I watched Maleficent.
Okay.
Now I've always been.
I'm very interested in Maleficent.
You ever seen it?
No, because I like Angelina, and it's on my to do list.
I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Angelina because of her old man. You know, Ray. Oh, what's his name? Ray Liotta.
Her old man. Do you mean her husband or her dad?
Her dad.
John Voight.
John Voight, yeah. Not Ray Liotta. Because of the John Voight link, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Angelina. But,
What, apart from the fact... Can you not separate her? Like, Angelina's fucking badass anyway.
John Voight, what, Midnight Cowboy, Deliverance? What has she done that matched that?
Angelina Jolie. She's one of the most beautiful people.
We were talking about feminism earlier, and I think McVeigh's just made some kind of point there, but anyway.
I made a point.
My kid likes Sleeping Beauty, which I think is a very flawed tale, and bought the Disney film Sleeping Beauty, and it looks amazing, and they misused the music of Tchaikovsky outrageously, but you know, it can't really fault Sleeping Beauty as a Disney film. It's probably shits on everything else they've ever done and ever will do. But
what the fuck? What?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So,
have you seen Robin Hood?
The 70s one?
Have you seen Alice in Wonderland? You're saying that Sleeping Beauty is better than Robin Hood and Alice in Wonderland?
What?
The Disney version?
I don't know, man.
You said Sleeping Beauty shits on everything else Disney have done.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, okay, good.
I retract that.
Good.
One thing I will not retract is that Maleficent, the villain of Sleeping Beauty,
yeah,
is the Darth Vader of the Disney universe.
Okay.
Before they bought Darth Vader. Okay, she's just a great villain. Just a kind of evil bitch that doesn't take any shit. And at the point where she's up against the wall, she becomes a big dragon and could blatantly murder anyone she wants, and somehow good kills her, and it was all a bit half-arsed. The handsome prince kills her in a half-hearted way, and it's like, oh, fuck you, handsome prince. You blatant didn't deserve that death. Anyway, it turns out, McVeigh...
Go on.
Turns out...
What happens in the
She wasn't actually the villain, because she was king of the fucking fairies.
What?
She was king of the fairies. She wasn't actually a villainous badass. The king was the baddie. He was the evil bastard. And she felt bad about what she did to Sleeping Beauty. Because the king of the fairies meant well all along. And when she becomes a dragon, it's actually to just stop the evil king or some shit.
So you're saying that the film Maleficent undoes the entire point of Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, yeah. You're not allowed this. We were talking about female badasses earlier. It's as if you unravel Ripley and Sarah Connor, and they were just kind of innocent schoolgirls caught in a bad trap by the evil whatever. It was fucking awful. Look, I talked about showing it our little kid before we watched it, and Melissa said it. We shouldn't show it because it'd be too inappropriate. And I'm really glad we didn't, because it was inappropriate for me.
It would ruin one of the enjoyable experiences of
Sleeping Beauty. Yeah. So yeah, it turns out.
What the fucking hell?
If ever you wanted to shit on a great character, we thought Revenge of the Sith did it, but no, it turns out Maleficent did a much better job of destroying one of the iconic bad guys of Hollywood. One of the most iconic villains Hollywood ever generated, totally raped and destroyed by a recent film
called
Maleficent. So, but to be fair to Angelina Jolie, she actually played it pretty well, but Jesus, Joseph and Mary, only knows why she signed up for this fucking awful diarrhea cunt fest of a shithole rapist pussy shit nonce cunt bag fucking arse of a film that I was forced to watch. There you go.
So we're throwing a lot of beeps there. To summarise, Jim wasn't keen on that.
Yeah, avoid Maleficent unless you've got no taste and no soul.
But I want to watch it. I'm curious.
It's it's definitely a different take on the character. Arguably, not completely to my taste.
Fucking hell.
Basically, if
I'd see you be so passionate about, like, you know, people ran about their childhoods being ruined. You weren't even as passionate about Ghostbusters. But now, someone's fucked up Sleeping Beauty. The villain from Sleeping Beauty. You are fucking, you're furious.
Basically, mate, if, you know, the opening scene of Star Wars, I know you're not a huge fan, but
I certainly have a new hope.
When the Star Destroyer bears down on the Rebel craft, and there's the iconic scene of the fucking around the door. If you wanted Peter Pan to burst out of that door, Maleficent is the fucking film for you. You small penis, narrow-minded cunt. I'm not calling you that, but
this has been Meat for the Beast, episode 22. We'll see you anon.
Okay, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we've been a little bit sporadic this year. We've obviously both had quite a lot going on lately, but things are looking up for us both and should be able to get episodes out more regularly. It's Halloween at the end of this month, so we'll be doing some kind of Halloween special, and we'll try and keep them coming a bit more regularly up to the Christmas run and beyond. Okay, McVeigh was sniffing around YouTube for some interesting synthwave music, and he came across a pretty badass tune by an outfit called Zombie Hyperdrive. Now, Zombie Hyperdrive are on New Retro Wave Records, and you can obviously Google those guys, or you can go on Bandcamp, type in Zombie Hyperdrive, and you'll find all this stuff no problem. If you want a quick link, go to our Facebook page, and we're going to share links to the track and I presume New Retro Wave Records as well. So thanks a lot, guys, for letting us play this. We really appreciate it, and we both think this is a fucking killer tune. So see you next time.